This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
And we are back. We thank David Tanglewski for giving us a little bit of insight as to what's happening on your commute home. And we, of course, turn our focus to our very first guest. He is State Rep Vinny DiMacedo. Representative, how are you?
Kevin, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Again, we appreciate yourself and several of your colleagues, whether it's in the House or hopefully where you might be come November, the Senate, that we've got a lot of cooperation from the folks up on Beacon Hill who come on this program on a regular basis. You are one of those, and we thank you.
It's my pleasure. And as you said, this is coming the end of my 16th, going into my 16th year in the legislature, serving in the House, and definitely I'm stepping out of that position and taking on the run. As you know, Senator Murray, who's the Senate President, has just recently chosen not to run again, which opened that seat up, and I've decided to take a run at that. So I'm either on November 5th going to be moving to the Senate or going back to the private sector.
Well, I don't see the latter of those two comparisons, but who am I? The voters, of course, will decide that. Before we talk about your announcement, anything to discuss? Anything hot and happening up on Beacon Hill since the last time we talked, or anything you want to kind of touch on?
Well, just to get a sense of what's happening, the big issue right now is, the governor put his $36.4 billion budget out. And that is the topic of conversation. I'm, as you know, the ranking member on Ways and Means. And so we're traveling around the state right now, talking to different heads of his agencies to talk about their budget priorities and how their, expectation to spend, how to spend those dollars. Now, $36.4 billion is some 6.8% greater than it was last year. Mm. Last year's budget when we started was only about $34.4 billion. So this is a pretty significant bump up as far as costs for next year's budget. So it's despite the fact that there isn't a $1.9 billion tax package, we're spending almost the same amount of money that he initially proposed back in the day when he presented his $1.9 billion tax package. So there's a lot of conversation up on Beacon Hill in regards to that. We're going to be talking about the minimum wage issue that's going to be coming up. And as you know, the Senate has done its version of the minimum wage. However, they didn't tie it to addressing the issue of unemployment insurance. Speaker is very determined to make sure that if we're going to address the issue of of the minimum wage, we're going to do it in conjunction with addressing unemployment insurance and the cost of unemployment insurance for small businesses. So that's another big issue that's going to be up on Beacon Hill that we're going to be dealing with in the very near future.
Joe. Representative Joe Rossi here.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What is your take on the local aid issue, which has been kind of something that we've heard talked about in the Senate and in the House the last couple of years, whereas there's more revenue being taken in, as I understand it, this fiscal year than was predicted or projected to be. And, the local aid just hasn't changed in so long.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. I've always said budgets are about priorities. I mean, it's $36 billion, and it is a lot of money, and you're right, it is about priorities. And our cities and towns have been stuck quite a bit for quite some time in regards to not having an increase in local aid. And I, for one, have always done my best to say, listen, the most important place we can get those resources is to our local communities, so they can provide education, they can provide the police and fire, public safety, because they don't ever see, cities and towns don't have the benefit that we sometimes have, is when at the state level, when the economy seems to be moving, we're actually seeing above and beyond what we take in, and we get some extra resources. And that's just a reality that happens. But at the local level, they're stuck. Their revenue stays the same, and they budget, they tax people's homes at a certain amount, and that's all they have to take in as far as revenues. And so, for the most part, I mean, there's smaller other fees and stuff like that. But so we need to do a better job of addressing the issue of local aid and making those priorities. And I'll give you just one quick example. The legislature voted to allow us to spend the governor to spend $300 million in Chapter 90 funds. Chapter 90 funds are funds that go back to cities and towns to address roadway concerns. Chapter 70 is educational concerns. We addressed that. The governor has said that he's not going to release he only released $200 million of that, didn't release the $100 million because we didn't do his $1.9 billion tax package. However, if you look at the revenue numbers, we're far exceeding what we were expected to take in. It would be a perfect opportunity to get those monies back to cities and towns to allow them to get on right now in the season where you can actually do road repairs. He still hasn't really received them. So I think it makes a lot of sense. It's something that we're going to request to try to move on. And I don't know if we're going to be successful, but we're certainly going to try.
I don't want to necessarily go off topic, but I do want to kind of ask something that is somewhat relevant in the news at this particular time. I know that it was about maybe a little more than a week ago that two dozen of your colleagues sent a letter to the governor asking for the resignation of the head of the state child welfare agency, Olga Roach. Give me your thoughts on every time we turn around, there's some new wrinkle in this agency and the problems within it.
Yeah, you know, it is certainly a grave concern. I think that first the reason that some people haven't jumped as quickly is because of the fact that she had been only on the job for 10 months. She's a new person. But it really does beg the question of what is going on there. And I think if you look at this agency and, you know, clearly the concern of the young 5-year-old boy that was missing, but the fact that we found out that the social workers had filed grievances for quite some time because they were far beyond the 18 family limit. So, you know, each social worker would have 18 families. They were up in, you know, 30 and 40 families that they had responsibilities for. They were filing those complaints, and yet nothing was done. And that was just unique to that particular area in Leominster. It wasn't throughout the entire state, so we don't know where the ball was dropped, but it's clearly a management issue that has allowed it. Well, we know three people have lost their jobs. The question is what's going on with DCF? And now we just have, I don't know if you just heard, but I just read today in the paper, DCF has taken custody of a child that the family had. The family was from Connecticut. Their child came in with some medical conditions from Connecticut to Boston. And Tufts and Children's Hospital were disagreeing over the medical procedures, and the family wants their children, you know, their child back so they can decide what their medical condition is. And the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has taken over custody of this child, and the parents are just in dismay, and a court has just ruled in favor of that they're now going to take this child and put it in foster care in Massachusetts, going to some other family. And, you know, maybe there's something that I don't know about, but boy, I'll tell you, with all the question marks we have at DCF, it's kind of interesting that DCF is making this decision on where this child should go.
It does. Now, being a part of the Ways and Means Committee and somebody who's going to be looking at the budgets, I mean, is that going to be one of the agencies, one of the departments that you're going to be weighing heavily as far as the expenditures for fiscal year 2015?
Of course. I mean, that is there. She actually came before our committee just the other day, last week, or 2 weeks ago in Watertown. And we asked, you know, some questions. You know, I wish it were coming again because I would like to ask her some questions about what's happening here. But, you know, we're definitely going to put some more money into, making sure that we have enough social workers on the ground to be able to, take care of the caseloads that the people that are responsible for watching over our, you know, these the most vulnerable children are being watched over. So, you know, we're going to address that, but we also want to make sure that it's being managed properly. And it's a big question mark with what's happening in that agency.
Now, digressing back to the budget, give me your thoughts on the governor's budget. I know the one thing that a lot of us take a look at when he puts forth the budget is how much of the stabilization funds he uses, or the rainy day fund. How much is he looking to use, and how do you think it's going to differ when the House finally puts out its version?
I think it's down from what it was, close to $300 million. $300 million less. $300 million as opposed to, I think in the past it was up to $600 million of the rainy day fund. We have approximately $1.3 billion in our stabilization fund, and so the goal is to budget that. He's increased again. He came back with the candy and soda tax that he's consistently has not been successful with, but he has brought that up. And as a matter of fact, during the debate, I had asked the administration why they chose not to go back with the $1.9 billion tax package. And, they came to the realization that he said that they weren't going to win, and so they put a budget together with the resources they had. That being said, they still went after the candy and soda tax, which has consistently come before the legislature and has not been successful. And that's about $178 million in new taxes in that area. And again, I would have to believe that probably is not going to pass the legislature. Again, as far as the rainy day fund, I know that the Chamber of Ways and Means on the House side is very concerned about the perception that the bond agencies have towards Massachusetts and the fact that we continue to stay over that $1 billion mark in our rainy day fund. That was something that I think, we've done well in that area. The bond agencies have given us a good rating because we've had a rainy day fund in these, difficult fiscal times. So if things get tough, we have a place to go. So getting under that $1 billion of concern, it's not as big a concern right now just because we've been seeing revenue above and beyond what we've taken in. And that's, we could come to the end of this year and not have a need to take anything out of the rainy day fund.
All right. Let's kind of transition to your run for Senate. And I have to ask, what do you feel are going to be the major issues, whether it's your race or a lot of the races that we're going to see this coming election season?
Well, I mean, in my race, it's about creating an economic environment that people can be successful in, create a place where people can create, can create jobs, that companies can grow here. And, the challenge for Massachusetts is that, you see that at the federal level, and things aren't necessarily great at the federal level, but their unemployment rate is dropping. In Massachusetts, we're hovering about 7%. It had been for quite some time. Massachusetts unemployment was lower, rate was lower than the national average. And now that's the inverse has happened. So that's a concern. Why is that happening? And we have to create, in my opinion, an environment for businesses to grow. One of the big issues for me, being from an area that is very much dependent on tourism, obviously the Cape's very dependent on tourism. We here in the Plymouth area are dependent on tourism, and Kingston and Pembroke, they all benefit from people who come through from land in Boston, come down to Plymouth, go down to the Cape. And we want to foster that economic development. We have 2020 coming. That's going to be a huge thing for this region, this area. We want to help, grow the economic development pie so that everyone does well. As if businesses are doing well, they're hiring people. If they're hiring people, people have the ability to move from job to job, to advance in their careers. That's the type of thing that I want to, and I'm a small business owner. I know what it's like to survive in a business, and I'm hoping that I can bring some of that insight and understanding over to the Senate.
Representative, what are some of the things, I know it's only been a little while since you started campaigning for the seat, but even as a representative, what are some of the things that the people are coming up to you as you're going around and kind of telling you are some of the biggest concerns that they have going into this next year?
Well, to be honest with you, people are really frustrated with all of the the problems that are going on with Obamacare, with the state, the state webs. And we actually had a healthcare system that was actually working working well. I mean, it was expensive, but everyone was covered. Things were moving, and now I've got people who are literally had to download paper applications, fill out the applications, and I've actually had to go hand deliver them in Boston to get it to the to the connector so that they can they can apply to get their health insurance. And there's a lot of concern about that dysfunction. The dysfunction, as we talked about at DCF, there's a lot of frustration in what was people are seeing with the just recently there was a report done that people in the are coming to Massachusetts to get on and claim residency and then moving into hotels that Massachusetts is paying for at the tune of $3,000 a month. People coming from all over the country, we've become a magnet for people. And then people are frustrated by that. People are frustrated by, all of these extra expenditures, and Massachusetts is becoming a magnet. And people are tapped financially. I mean, I run into people every day. Everything, whether we raise taxes or not, everything else is costing more money. Heating oil is going through the roof. Propane is skyrocketing. You go to the supermarket, you see everything increasing at the supermarket, and people are feeling like, I don't have more to give.
Again, we're speaking with State Representative Vinny DiMacedo, not only talking about some of the things going on Beacon Hill, but he recently announced that he's going to be running for State Senate for the Plymouth Barnstable seat. Talk to me about the communities that you would serve and some of the issues. I'm sure you've already started to hear from them some of the things that they want you to do in that district.
No, I am, and I'm just starting. As it was a little over a week and a half ago that the Senate Senate President decided that she's not going to seek re-election, and so I had to make the decision. And it's a big decision because I'm stepping out of a seat that I've served in for 16 years and feel like I had a very good grasp of what was going on in my community in Plymouth. But I had to jump into make a decision to jump into this, which is takes on Kingston and Pembroke on this side of the bridge, and then we have Bourne and Sandwich and Falmouth that are communities that have different concerns than Plymouth does per se. I think Kingston and Plymouth and Pembroke, frankly, are our lot in common. We're very similar communities. I know for myself, I grew up in Kingston. I went to Silver Lake Regional High School. So I know a lot about the community. My brother was a selectman in town. So Kingston and Plymouth and Pembroke, we have a lot in common, and I think we have a lot. But, the things that I'm aware of. Going over the Cape, the issues are different. One of the biggest challenges over there is wastewater. Mm. And that's become a very expensive endeavor to try to address the water issue over there. And so that's something that I need to really get a better grasp of and how we're going to address that. They have the big base over there, the military base, which is something that is unique to that area. That's another issue that I'm, as an individual, I'm going to have to really get an understanding of and how we can address the concerns of the kids that come in from the military that are going to the Bourne school systems and how that affects the local school system, the costs, and can we get the federal government to step up to the plate and help fund that for the community and as well the state.
We just have a few more minutes with you, Representative. I guess I would ask you, what do you feel are going to be some of the achievements that you're going to put forth during the campaign to let folks know that you were effective as a lawmaker in the House and that you deserve an opportunity to serve on the Senate?
Well, it's a good question. And, I have been in there for 16 years, and I know when I first ran, there was a lot of talk. I was a young guy, and, could I be effective? Could I, deliver for my community? I think I've proven myself to be effective. Just one issue is the governor. I'll just throw out, the governor had cut tourism funding. It's called regional tourism. So our region right here in Pembroke and Kingston and Plymouth, we get regional tourism funds. And that budget was about, at one point, it was up to $9 million. But the governor cut it down to $2.5 million because he put the money up in Boston. Boston was going to decide how we spent those tourism dollars. And we fought that. And I, you know, myself working with Sarah Peak, she's a rep on the Cape. We fought the administration and said, no, it's the regional tourism council that know best how to spend that money, get it back to the districts so that they could spend those monies more efficiently. We were able to return that back to $7 million to them. That's something that, you know, I think I could say that I've been successful in. Just recently, I was able to get $6 million in the transportation bond bill for Plymouth for the 2020 for the building of a parking garage down in Plymouth, because you can imagine if this is what we think it's going to be, the 400th celebration, just think of the amount of people that are going to be coming to Plymouth. Where are they going to go? I mean, where are they going to park? We're all down there, and we know how difficult it is in the summertime to find good parking. And that was something that I've been able to do. And frankly, I think the biggest thing is I've been able to work very well across the aisle with people, regardless of your political philosophy. I have been able to work and be effective for my community. I've been able to put partisan bickering aside. We can disagree on issues, but it's never personal. And that's something that I think that I can share. And frankly, many of the people that are in the Senate now were my former colleagues. Over 50% of the people that are in the Senate right now were former House members, people who I've worked with and had relationships with. And I'm hoping that the people of this district will give me a shot to say, you know what, you've proven yourself at the House level, and we hope, we're going to give you a try to see if you can do the same at the Senate level.
Now, I got the final question I have to ask you is probably going to be the most important one, and that's for the viewers of PAC TV. Do you feel that if you do head over and you're elected to serve in the Senate, that you're still going to be able to do your duties for the Thanksgiving parade?
That is definitely the most important question, and I'm glad you asked it. Of course, you know what, I'm a Plymouth guy, and I love the Thanksgiving Day parade, and as my brother, I don't think my brother would let me out of it. He says he's going to work hard for me in the Kingston area, and he's going to make sure that I do that. But, you know, that is another part of what makes this area so unique and special. It's that, it's the fact that we own that Thanksgiving celebration. It all started here in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and it is a celebration that the entire country celebrates, Thanksgiving, and it started here, and we just need to continue to celebrate it. So I'm just honored that I have a chance to play a very small part in that. My brother and his group of volunteers work so hard to put on that just an impressive celebration each and every year, and it's frankly just to say, how fortunate we are to live in America's hometown where Thanksgiving started, where we can just celebrate and give thanks for all that we have in this great nation been blessed with. So you will be certain to see me there.
Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you thank Emily. She did a great job getting you on.
I will.
And we'll definitely talk soon.
Kevin, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
You got it. There he is, State Representative Vinny DiMacedo. We're going to step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. Do not go anywhere.